Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It is good to be here. Good to see you. I have enjoyed the worship service thus far. Does anybody know what the national day is today? National blank day? No, you're not up to date. It's National Nutella Day, in case you wondered. So maybe we can have remember that when we have our fellowship meal. I'm intrigued about national days, right? I'm intrigued about Awareness Week, Awareness Month, and so on. I just, for the fun of it, looked up the different awarenesses, and throughout the year, just in the health arena, there's over 80, okay? So February includes Health Awareness Week, There's so many different weeks. I was humored by the first week of December is National Hand Washing Week. So, well, I say all that to say this. I'm going to propose that we make February national, or at least Waterworks, Marriage Awareness Month, if I can do that. So, February is known for Valentine's Day and so on. And the older I get, the more important I see certain things and the ramifications of certain things. And the older I get, the more I'm convinced that marriage is one of the foundations of everything else in life. It is so foundational in the home, so foundational in the nation, and so on. And I do realize that not everybody is married, and that is perfectly okay. I find it interesting. I looked up the verses this morning where Paul says, I kind of wish everybody was like me, and he wasn't married. But, you know, some people God calls for a certain devoted task and what have you. But I am still convinced that marriages are so foundational into so much of life. Therefore, I plan to invest time personally, not only in my marriage, but just encouraging and fostering marriages as much as I can. Some of you know that Joyce and I spent a weekend in Florida recently, and we were part of a conference called Ignite Marriage Conference, where I shared two topics. And what I plan to do is, I know I have a little bit of finishing up with 1 Timothy, and that's what I was kind of planning on doing, but I really would like to, I do have two messages in February here, and what I plan to do is I plan to share both of those messages here, just kind of to foster every marriage that is here. And if you're not married, the marriages around you have, I believe with all my heart, play a very big part of your life. So, therefore, Marriage Awareness Month here at Waterworks. So the two topics that I shared, the one was God's design for marriage, and that's what I plan to talk about this morning, God's design for marriage. Let me see if I can get this to cooperate. There we go. And the second one, which will come a few weeks later, is communication and conflict. And of course, I tailored it more towards marriage, but that is one that transcends so much of life, conflict and communication. So that is going to be a few weeks later. So this morning, we're going to look at the subject of God's design for marriage. In one of the sessions, one of the speakers, Mark Slaybaugh, spent a little bit of time and talking about the shift that the nation has went from God-centered, marriage-centered, and now the tendency is to be child-centered. And I'm not going to try to unpack that subject, but that was really intriguing to me, how he just brought out, not in every case for sure, but there is a tendency to shift towards child-centered homes. instead of marriage-centered homes. And some would argue that you can't separate the two, but nevertheless, my goal here is to just really focus on marriage and encourage us. So, there's a story that comes back in the early 1900s. A couple went out and bought a Model T Ford. And they went out to drive, and for some reason, the Model T Ford came to a dead halt. And the guy muttered, he said, "I knew I shouldn't have spent the money on this thing." And there he was beside the road, and he probably did what like I would do, open the hood and act like you know what you're doing, and wiggle a couple wires and wiggle a couple hoses, and I wouldn't say hocus pocus, but just kind of hope something magic happens. Well, he was not being successful, and along comes another Model T Ford, and a fine, well-dressed gentleman comes out of this Model T Ford and said, "What's wrong?" And the gentleman with his wife said, "I bought this thing and I knew it was a mistake. I wasted my money. I'm out on a drive and look, here I sit." It's gentleman says, "You mind if I take a look?" "Yeah, go ahead, make my day." Usually a well-dressed gentleman in your, he didn't say it, but is not going to be successful in getting this troubleshooting. So out of somewhere, he pulls out a pliers and pulls out a couple little tools, and he does his thing, and he says, "Now jump back in this car," and it was before the day of a key. He said, "Pull the crank." He was really skeptical, but he pulled the crank, and it just fired up, and it purred like a kitten. And the guy was, "What? Who are you?" And he wouldn't answer him. Went back in his Model T Ford and started rolling away. But he rolled down his window and he said, "By the way, I'm Henry Ford. I made your car. And I understand your car. I designed your car." God's design. When we're talking about design, I hope you're aware that we live in a culture that has strayed so far from the design. Actually, some of the things that maybe should be said, I don't really plan to say. I plan to stick to the design. You know as well as I do that our culture has just, we shake our heads. In one of the awarenesses, I was smitten. I think it's in November, there's going to be a transgender awareness day. How can it? God's design. That's what we want to talk about. Who designed it? And for those of you that are married, maybe you feel like you're broken down. Maybe you feel like you just heard a couple sputters. My wife and I hear a couple sputters probably every day. You know what I mean? Maybe even a backfire. Maybe it's going okay, but not quite like it used to. Maybe it's going fine, but just needs some maintenance. All vehicles do. All vehicles need a fresh oil change. Most of the times when the shocks go bad, you're going to get a couple bumps, right? So I think it's very important that we put emphasis on marriage, God's design. So speaking of broken cars, this is really personal to Joyce and I. Extremely personal. You know what? That's where it all started for us. It's true. Joyce lived in southern Lancaster County, 52 miles from my house. Jarrell can empathize. And one Sunday afternoon, she was riding with her friends, and me and my one friend decided we're going to go out for a Sunday afternoon drive, and we happened to be at the exact same spot, Springville Mennonite Church, if you know where that's at. And that's where I providentially pulled in my 1986 Monte Carlo, and I discovered that there are some girls that I know, and their cars broke down. And long story short, I offered, they asked for a ride and said, sure, come on, I'll take you, I'll give you a ride up to Lebanon County. And that was Joyce's means of transportation. She was working for a family that had some needs, and she was working in Lebanon County, so she needed a ride up. So she was along for the ride, and well, that required luggage, okay? So I got out of my car and opened up the trunk, and she put her luggage in my trunk, and we went up through to Lebanon County, and I dropped her off at the home where she was working. So I got out of the car and opened up the trunk and got her luggage out, and she was on her business, and I was on with mine, and my buddy looks up, ooh. And a little bit later, I thought, yeah, ooh. And long story short, that's how it all started. I'm not trying to waste time on a story. God's design. God's design is very important, and for you it's going to be different, but I believe with all my heart that was just a little more than a broken down car that day. I'm convinced that when we stop and see the fingerprints in our own stories, it can cause us to marvel. And that's what I'd like to do. I'd like everyone, no matter what your story is, God's fingerprints are on your story. And I am passionate about the subject of marriage. After 32 years, I have a firm conviction. And my firm conviction, it's my number one responsibility. I've already said I'd rather fail in any other area of life than marriage. I think it is so important that emphasis is put on marriage. I think it is important to do your best in ministry. I think it is important to do your best in child training, whatever other program you're involved in. But I'm here to say that I believe marriage is one of the, if you get that one right, I think many other things are going to fall into line. It's been one of life's greatest blessings, and we've been through some difficult times. Sometimes we're hard. And I can honestly say that today, we're married 32 years, and I can honestly say that there's nobody I'd rather spend time with than my wife. And I hope you have the same story. It's unfortunate. I think Steve and Annie Chapman sing a song about their children grow up and get married, and they're all gone, and they look at each other, and who is this stranger that's in my house? And just don't let them. Determined not to let that happen to me, and I hope you determine that it will not happen to you. You know, I said it's one of life's greatest blessings, but it also can be some of life's greatest challenges. Sometimes I marvel how something so beautiful, a relationship so beautiful, can be so hard, right? Maybe you don't identify with that, but it's probably one of the most difficult relationships. And you know why? Because you have the greatest expectations from the relationship. I live next door to several neighbors, and my expectation for that relationship is not that high, okay? So therefore, it's not that hard to have a relationship with somebody that you don't have great expectations and a lot of interaction with. So, and I will also say this, our children know as good as anybody that there are days where it's not so good with mom and dad. And I'll be honest, when we have the cold shoulder days and the stalemate days, hope you don't know what I'm talking about, but I do. There seems to be a cloud that comes over my life, and I can't really function in any other area of life. But if everything's okay in the marriage relationship, there's just something about we can handle pretty much, I think. So I'm back to this thing of the importance of it. So let's get to some scripture. God's design. Genesis 1 and 2, it says, Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. I'm just going to read a couple foundational verses. So, so important. God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God made man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Note the emphasis. That's because of cultural challenges. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature was the name thereof. Adam gave names to the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. So foundational, I'd like, from that passage, three primary points. And they are, number one, we're designed for reflection, we're designed for roles, and we're designed for relationship. I'm going to go through them quickly. Designed for reflection, designed for roles, and designed for relationship. You could get more out of it, but I want to narrow it down to those three. So, designed for reflection. What I'd like to do is quickly take a walk back into the garden, and I want to just wonder, okay? Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. That's what I'd like to do in the garden. So join me. We're going to talk about the wonder of creation, the wonder of reflection, and the wonder of gender, briefly. So the wonder of creation. With just a word, God creates the heaven and earth. Do you believe that? You really believe it with a word? Just a word spoken. That takes some faith. Actually, it takes more faith not to believe it, I think. So fast forward through the first 5 days of creation. You have the light, you have the heavenlies, the sun, the moon, the stars, the lush vegetation, the grass, the herbs, the fruit tree, the fish, the fowl. Now we come to day six. First it's the animals. Then, with tender, loving care, for the first time, I believe he gets his hands involved and he forms man. There's something more personal going on. He forms man with his hand. He shapes him. Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. We're talking about reflection. And we stand in awe as the triune God creates and then relates to a created being made in their own image. And he invites them into a blissful circle of joy. And he relates to them. Now there's four beings that are relating. One was created, a wonder. But there was no helpmeet for Adam, so supernatural surgery begins. And we stand in awe again as the triune God creates the perfect helpmeet. We stand in awe as the couple stands before their creator. Get this, perfectly reflecting God. Perfectly reflecting God. It's like a mirror. That's God. The two of them. Male, female. Perfectly reflecting the glory and the oneness of God. Complementing. Corresponding. That's the wonder of creation. The wonder of reflection. I'm convinced that a healthy marriage just reflects a perfect picture of God. We are designed to reflect, to mirror God. This is truly a wonder. And I think more so than the physical appearance. I don't know if you have the idea where you look in the mirror and God looks in the mirror and you see this. That's the image. No. We're created in soul likeness. Man became a living soul, mind, will, emotions, right? Like God. We have a mind to think. So does God. We have a will to reason. Emotions to feel. That's how we are, made like God. There they stood, perfectly reflecting God. Ooh, I can almost see the enemy glaring because, you know, he hates anything that reminds or that is a good reflection of God. He can't stand it. So he takes issue, and I think his first thought was, how can I mar this image? How can I do it? I'm convinced that a healthy marriage sends a powerful message to a broken world. Powerful. Paul talks about the marriage resembling Christ in the church and how it is such an analogy. I remember one day I was out on the job minding my own business, working. And Joyce was home making donuts, and she makes some pretty good cream-filled donuts, and she knows I like them. And she shows up at my job and gives me a donut. Now, that's about as good as a day can get, right? I'm munching on my cream-filled donut, and I can still remember the customer. She was, I found out later, in an estranged relationship, and Joyce leaves, and I'm eating my donut, and she starts mumbling about, it was his fault. I didn't say a word. I'm just eating a donut. You get my point? Without a word, I'm convinced that is one of the most powerful testimonies, powerful witnesses you'll ever preach or ever take to a lost and dying world. I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a great mystery. Just as the enemy launched an attack on a radiant reflection, the enemy took issue. Let me say that again. Just as the enemy launched his attack on a radiant reflection back in the garden, so he does in the world today. He doesn't like good reflections. He'll do anything he can. The wonder of reflection. And finally, the wonder of gender. I'm not going to talk much about this, but there they stood back in the garden, both genders perfectly reflecting the glory of God, and took them both. I used to ascribe all masculinity to God. And I'm discovering that there's such equal masculine, there's masculinity in God. Also, let me read a verse to you. Let me read this verse. Don't get me wrong. In God, there is the strength, the protection, the power. God brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and so on. And delivering, covering. Listen to this. God says in Isaiah 66, I will extend peace to her like a river and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck. You shall be borne on her sides and be dandled upon her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you in Jerusalem. And I don't know if you ever thought of God that way. God is giving a picture there of a mother bouncing her child on her knee and bringing her up to her side and even nursing. And I'm here to say that a man and a woman that are in their place and in their role, they are both, it takes both of them to reflect the perfect character of God. And I'm thinking, I'm seeing that more and more as I understand who God is. How about when Jesus said, how many times I would gather you under my wing like a hen gathers her chickens and so on. Again, there is something that is powerful about a man and a woman in their place. They reflect the glory of God. There, I remember one of my children at an IMAX theater one time. They were, you know, how the whole building shakes and it looked like the train was going to come and run us all flat. And this child was just bouncing on her mother's knee, right? And I still remember like it was yesterday. This IMAX theater just was so real and intense. And this child said, I want my dad. it made me feel so good. But then the child's sick. Dad, no. I hope you're getting the point of both masculinity, femininity as a unit. And it's reflecting the who God is. So The next thing is we're designed for roles. And just real quickly, help meet. I just like to make a comment about that. Sometimes I hear help meet being, and even I'm sure I have maybe misrepresented, I believe, what the scripture really does say. help. Would you take the word help meet? Help is the same word that references the Lord in Psalm 70. I should have put the verse on there, but here's what Psalm 70 says. Oh God, thou art my help and my deliverer. That's the exact same word. So here in Psalm 70, it's used as, God, you're my help. God gave us a help meet. The word meet literally means opposite. And it gives us the idea that she will complement and correspond to him. So help meet is a whole lot more than just somebody that's going to help me with my program. It's the idea of I need help. Almost like I need God's help and I need my wife's help, and I'm not afraid to say that. And meet, it means opposite. Now, I don't have a session on the differences of men and women, but we know that there are a lot of big differences between men and women. They're really, really opposite, but they can complement so much. And that's really the idea here in help meet. It literally means opposite, giving the idea of a different idea, a different. We'll get to that in the next message, conflict and communication. Conflict comes into every healthy marriage is going to have conflict. We'll get to that later. Help meet. I want us to understand that word. I like to think of this teamwork, team together. Together they're going to tend the garden. I can almost see them out in the garden tending it. Together, not alone. Together they will replenish the earth. This is a team together. When they're teamed together, Adam will lead, love, cherish, protect, provide, and understand. And Eve will support, will respect, will affirm, and will encourage. And I know, I can speak for us men, when we are supported, respected, affirmed, and encouraged, I feel like we can do about anything, right? But when we're not, it's almost like we're a half a wheel. And last time I checked, a half a wheel is bump, 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 bump. You know what I mean? It is a really, really bumpy ride. And the same on the other side. If our wives aren't led, loved, cherished, understood, it's going to be that same half wheel, bump, bump, bump. You know what I mean? But you get the roles. The roles and the wheel, it'll roll. We could talk about control. I don't know if you know any control freaks. There are controlling men. When there are controlling men, they are not allowing the wife to bring the God-given gifts to the unit. And that's sad. And then there are some very controlling women. And you know what that'll equal? That'll equal a whipped puppy. And sometimes it's very subtle. And sometimes it's you have to get behind the scenes to see both of them happen. But let me say it like this. When there's control, we don't understand the role. When we understand the role, there's no control, and there's a unit. It's beautiful. Designed for reflection, designed for roles. Lastly, designed for relationship. Understanding the Trinity helps us understand that God is relational. Okay? Let us make man. That's relationship before there's man created. For me, understanding the Trinity helps us understand that God is relational. It's hard for me to imagine eternity past, but I'm positive that there was a blissful circle of joy in the Trinity from eternity past, and that's more than my mind can can even fathom. But understanding the Trinity helps me understand that God is relational. God made us to be relational. We are made in His image. So God's relational, and we are made to be relational. There is no one on the face of the earth that is not created to be relational. And there's a lot of different kind of personalities. There's introverts and there are extroverts and so on and everything in between. And some days I think I'm an introvert and some days I think I'm an extrovert and sometimes, you know, but there is no one that is created not to be relational. And that helps me understand a lot about relationship, and we'll get to more of that when we talk about communication. Our deepest relationships can be and should be with Him, with God, because He knows everything about us, even our thoughts. You get that? There's no one. Now, I think husband and wife could get pretty close to that. I can't believe how many times I'm thinking one thing and it comes out of Joyce's mouth, or vice versa. Or, honey, where? It's under the bed. I didn't even ask. God knows our thoughts. Therefore, that should be it can be the deepest relationship you can ever have, because He always knows exactly what you're thinking. And I'm convinced that the most secure, fulfilled person is going to be a product of healthy relationships. And I won't talk about social media's impact on relationship, but it has produced counterfeit relationships. Not against social media, but I wonder if any of us understand what it has done to relationship. In marriage, we're designed for connection. And, you know, we have our connection bids. I'm just getting a hold of this sometimes, and I catch myself doing it since I understand this connection bid. Like, you ever hear a sigh? Sometimes it's a sigh to be tired, but often that sigh is a bid for you to connect. Something is happening in her world or your world, and you let out a sigh, and there's kind of a hope for that person to enter into that sigh to figure out what's going on. You know what I'm saying? We're designed for relationship, is my point. Close relationship, so close that it's called oneness, one in spirit, one in soul, one in flesh, in that order. Let me make a few comments about that. Spiritual connection, emotional connection, and physical connection. Don't ever expect intimate physical connection without spirit-soul connection. And the subject of differences between men and women should be brought into this, but women are very much wired to be created on connecting on an emotional level, even more so than men. I never forget one day I was listening to a podcast by Shante Feldham. I don't know if you ever read her books, but she wrote For Men Only, For Women Only. She wrote some other good books on marriage. One day I was just listening to a podcast, I think it was, and she was talking about an interview she had with porn stars. And the porn stars told Shante Feldham that they are trained and trained and trained to send a message to men. And the message is, I want you and I want your body. That's not normal. That's not natural. Every woman is created to emotionally connect with someone. That's why women can connect on emotional levels even more so than men. But I just remember, I remember hearing that, and I thought, wow. So it's all a lie. That whole image and message that they are trained is a lie. They're trying to reprogram their natural tendencies. And where am I at? The last one here. God designed us to relate with Him and with each other. And the last one that I have under this point is God designed us to be completely open. When we read in the scripture that they were naked and unashamed, do you know what that means? That means that there was complete openness between them. There was nothing hidden. Naked and unashamed denotes physical and relational openness, completely open, physically No barriers, no walls. Relationally, no barriers, no walls. And I tell you, that kind of a relationship is such a blessing. In a marriage relationship, blessed is the couple that there is no walls. She gets the raw me and I get the raw her, right? And some of it's ugly. Some of it has some refining to do. But there's just no hidden corners of our hearts. That's God's design. Design for reflection, design for roles, and design for relationship. It was so perfect back in the garden, so perfect. And then comes Genesis 3. Satan marred this perfect image of God, and the rest of the whole Bible is redemption. Genesis 3, you have Genesis 1 and 2, perfection. Genesis 3, Satan marred it, and the rest of the Bible is redemption. And Revelation 22 is another garden, and it's perfect again. But here we are caught in the middle. We're caught in the middle of Genesis 3 and Revelation 22. And trust me, every time, that's why the subject of marriage is so big. Every time there is a marriage that is reflecting God, I am so convinced that God pulls back the Revelation 22 curtain and gives the world, even the ungodly world, a peek into perfection. And that's why I think it is just so important for every one of us to do whatever we can, even if we're not married to understand the beauty of it and to do everything we can to foster the marriages around us. So, God bless you. I know I went a little bit over time, and thank you for your patience and forbearance. And I'd like to say a prayer, and then I'd ask Lee for just a verse of a song, and then Mike, why don't we all stand, pray, and then we'll have a verse of a song, and then Mike will close. Father, thank you so much for the subject of marriage. We understand that you're right. The design is right. The design is correct. And you are able to restore everything that could ever go wrong because you're the champion of redemption. But Lord, I just again want to thank you for all the marriages here. I pray a blessing on them. And I pray that we could accurately reflect, accurately fulfill our role, and accurately relate. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.